Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Rad Rolls, a Fallout tabletop podcast.
Let's go!
Hello and welcome to Rad Rolls. This is Dave, the GM of the podcast, with a little update and a special episode for you all as a bonus during our intermission. Our crew hasn't recorded for about a month and a half just due to vacations and travel and a lot of different stuff. Organizing, you know, five people from all over the United States is a task at hand, but the good news is that pretty much less than a week from when I'm recording this, we'll be together again recording more Rad Rolls for you, keeping with our weekly format. What that means is next week we are actually going to miss another episode again, but we're going to pick up from where we left off after the attack of the jackals within the game. It's going to be really exciting. There's a lot of fun stuff that I have planned for them. One of the things that I've always wanted to do is talk about how you do a first session. Oftentimes I think that's the hardest part. There's like 100 million different kinds of guides, devices that you can use, from various YouTube videos, guides, that kind of stuff. I want to talk about how I did this one, because I think that it actually worked out really well. I think that some of my thinking is a little bit different from what other people typically do when you go to do a first session, especially a recorded session or something where you're trying to really get people to invest and buy. Oftentimes I feel like I'm getting listeners to invest and buy in my campaign, but at the same time I'm trying to get my folks I'm playing the game with invested and bought into my campaign and what I'm doing. So I wanted to start with the Vault of Judgment, which is what our second campaign of Rad Rolls did for its very first session. To give some background, we did four episodes of kind of world building, playing a world building game called A Quiet Year. A lot of the ideas and stuff from that general world build are being used, but really it's almost like 150 years after that, that our game takes place. So a lot of those details and stories are forgotten to some of the people that exist in this universe, or they evolved into something else. Like, not everything that is from that world build that we did is necessarily represented in what we did with Vault of Judgment. So I wanted to start with my book right here. Talk about some of the different things that I did, some of the different notes that I took, how I draw and what I typically draw for our maps. I mean, if you go through this book, you're going to see a lot of the old maps that we did with Rad Rolls. This was Cryptid Camp Creepin'. Some of these I might go back through again. The first one I did in this book was the Under New Orleans map. A lot of these maps, I really enjoy. I really enjoy writing these maps. We're going to talk about this one, this Vault of Judgment, today. There's a video version of this on YouTube. You can see what I'm pointing to and kind of get that context. But I'm also going to release this episode on podcast services, but I'll be talking in depth about what the pictures are and what the notes are saying within it. In a setup for a game, I typically want to have some sort of way to engage the characters in the first second. So oftentimes you'll see, oh, start your D&D campaign or something in an inn. or start them just like on a quest. I like a more active start where they're immediately thrust into a problem. Here is something, solve it, and learn about their characters in that process. The game that's fresh in my hand right now is Final Fantasy VII. If you play that, you know that the in the original game, it starts with a mission where you are thrust into a terrorist bombing organization. They're an eco-terrorist doing some bombing. And they're going to go attack this mega corporation, and you're immediately sold in. You don't know who these characters are, per se, but you know what the stakes are, and you learn about them as you go, but you're immediately asked to do something. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to start them off in this world. They don't know. I don't have time to sit around and fully describe this world and this massive area, but I do have a way of, I want to know about their characters. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what motivations they have. So I actually start up here. This is the courtroom where they are held against the hangman. The hangman himself was a character that I came up just for this instance, but ended up liking it so much that I'm continuing to use him. He is giving judgment to these players and asking them if they are guilty of not being American enough. I feel like that's a good theme for Fallout. Are you American enough? And what is the idea of America? And how are these, you know, post-American Americans living? So I think that that's kind of a good setup. It's like, here's a courtroom scene where characters are trying to plead their case of why their character. If you're asking them a specific question of like, why do you think that you're American? You're going to hear different kinds of answers based off their character sheet. You're not saying, oh, what's your favorite snack that you have after midnight? You're doing something a little bit different in this scene particularly. Generally, when I write a few notes about it, but really I insist on doing doodles. So you see, my art is not that great, and that's fine. It's not for you. It's not for the players. It's really for me. It's a way that you can have a map of something and have it be amorphous, have it give some ideas without being too overcomplicated with stuff. If I'm going into the battle scenario or if I'm doing something tactical, I'm laying out a separate battle map where everything's very location-based, everything's like squared out, gridded out. I'm not going into detail of drawing this kind of stuff. So you see in this courtroom, I have the judges stand right here. I've got the nooses and stuff that you would set on the stage, kind of lights making this area. So when I first start the game, I'm only showing them this piece. I'm not showing them the rest of these areas. So that's the first area. We have our court case. It's always going to be deemed that they are pretty much un-American, so I knew that they were going to go down the shaft. So if you look at this map behind it and how I blocked it, I block generally like a comic book. Pretty much in all of my maps, it's all blocked similarly to comic books. Easier for me to understand, but I make some pathways. Some of them are intentional, stuff that is kind of in front. I make a cross right here. You see the stairwell right here, but where they go is they actually go down. And right here you can see kind of behind the panes in these different areas, I've drew in a ventilation shaft, storm drain, something like that, that had a fan at the bottom. So it's like, okay, now we've gotten to know about the characters. Here's the puzzle. They're dropping. You have to do something. Here's a fan at the bottom of it. And so they go through that, and then they end up down here in this garage area. This garage area is where I wanted to introduce the first NPC. I named him Archie. I had this idea of a kind of a character that was a mix of the mechanic from Borderlands, and also a lot of people that I know kind of in real life and growing up in the country. That kind of like expressive, explosive, young, kind of hillbillyish personality I wanted to bring into this setting, because I think that I typically do well with kind of a wacky character. I'm never known for them in general. That's a joke. One of the things that I wrote about this room is that these are actually body parts. I often think of ways that people could get loot or go through things, and I set up scenarios where generally I have a random table that I'll roll for loot and what they have, unless there's something specific from an enemy. This pile of bodies right here, that is what they could have loot. They didn't really go through the bodies to look for anything. They just were like, you pile of bodies, let's move on. So this room is kind of like an introduction to a character. So just kind of backtrack where we are. We have a first scene where we're taking on, you know, what is your character? What's happening? Here's an immediate action that's happening. This fall down into the bodies with the fan. That's a small puzzle. Then we're meeting another NPC, and we're seeing how they interact with somebody who's willing to work with them. Generally, if I'm not starting with a merchant in a game, and I typically dislike merchants, I'll start with a loot scenario, which is your next room that they go up into. I like to block stuff off and name stuff. So in the universe, if you can't read this, it's pretty small. It's a storage right there. And this is the trash room. The trash room is where I set up a number of different ways for them to loot and find stuff. I think they found a few, like a junk jet. They found some interesting things in that room. And the next piece is another puzzle. I don't like to start combat too soon, so I generally went with this nuclear reactor puzzle. I try to section my puzzles off to what character is what. So our character is a Children of Atom character. One of our players plays a Children of Atom character. And so I want to talk about radiation and what that does and mechanically what that impacts on that character, how they can get around it. There's a robot character in our campaign. How does radiation affect them? How are they going to make it past this giant radioactive device without getting too injured? So that's my reactor room that I've done for that. I've made some notes generally on this page about the different things. You can see here I have trash. I just write basic notes. A pile of bodies cut by blades of the fan. Smoke fills the room, flowing in from the pits that then the fan releases the fire. It's all in my handwriting. I'm not trying to write too much. I'm not trying to write a narrative. When I'm in that moment, I just want to picture myself there. I want to picture myself in this trash area or in the, the junk, the storage area. Then I want to picture myself in the reactor area. I don't want to have this written out thing. That doesn't work well for me. It may work well for somebody else, but for me, I want to be there because I want to put myself in the room because players are going to have questions. It's the number one thing. They're going to have questions about what's going on. You can't accurately describe everything within there. So that's what I like to do. From the reactor room, they actually went to the atrium, which I set up as kind of a hub. This is where you do your first combat encounter. And one of the things that I wanted to do here was let's figure out who's good at shooting a faraway target, because one of them, I believe it's Frankie, is really good at shooting targets that are far away. And so I wanted it to get some use out of his character. The thing that I didn't plan for is for Jared's character that he's playing, the name is escaping me now. Jared's character is actually a Children of Atom person that has the Mysterious Stranger perk, and so he came up with me, talked to me about this idea of a angel-based entity that would come and be the Mysterious Stranger, and that's actually what happened within this room.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And so they did their first combat encounter. Now the thing and the theming of the vault actually starts here. Because in this world, there is kind of a competitive escape room situation happening that people in the community are very involved in. So when you're thinking about a vault, you want to think about some kind of test or experiment that went wrong. This vault was actually constructed after most vaults would have been done. This was actually constructed a year after the bombs went off. So I had to think about what kind of vault people from this community would construct. So I came up with the idea of saying, okay, what if it's like a Saw-like vault where they had to escape from these puzzles or they would die in the vault? When I think about puzzles, I think about game shows. It's really easy to do a game show within a game because you're getting that input. Things can always devolve in the content, so other rooms kind of pull from that. For this room, I was theming it more of the most dangerous game. So moving on from there, there's a few different options they could go to. The cafeteria, where they are told to eat one of their friends. That is a puzzle that I don't have any solution to. They went in there. There was a Mr. Gutsy with a knife. They were trying to figure out how to eat one of their friends. Then they had the idea of, hey, is there like another like bug in this room? They had the idea of, oh, if there was an ant, then I could befriend an ant and then kill it and then eat it. So setting up these kind of amorphous puzzles has helped me come up with ways that I can get them to solve something, get them to progress something, get them to interact with the world and their tools, but also have that, design or have that idea that actually ends up working or not working. But at the end of the day, it's not, oh, there's one keyhole solution for this. It's, hey, let's try it. Let's see what works. Let's see where the dice land. Let's see what your skills are. Does this plan make sense for your character? That kind of stuff. I came up with a History of America room right here. That room is a essentially a test of, do you know America well enough? The idea I had was they were going to answer some questions. I ended up not liking that idea when I was actually playing the game, and I switched it up. I switched it to a how can you get in trouble and get kicked out of the classroom? If you're able to get kicked out of the classroom by acting up or doing something, then you were able to achieve the goal of the room. And whenever they achieve these goals, they would actually get a monetary coin that they can spend and use later on. The other room I had was the dating challenge room that was called Yikes Bad Dates. That was kind of a personality test for these characters of sitting them in the chair and having them choose between three doors. One of the doors actually housed the original companion friend that they had met in the earlier vault, and two of them were Assaultrons that were programmed to be effectively serial killers from the from modern American times. So one of the Assaultrons was actually John Wayne Gacy, and the other one was the Unabomber. And then the third one was the Archie character, who really just liked to burn stuff up, which made for a good playoff of those three because he's kind of a pyromaniac, so he could seem like a really terrible person, but he really likes the fire. Another room that I had entered was the Family Fight. This room was kind of like Family Feud. The goal of the room is to engage them in a large-scale encounter. So that was for combat, to see how they would do with multiple enemies with a whole other family. So there was some game aspects to it, but really, this is a combat-heavy room. Sometimes I'll have an idea of saying, okay, I know I want this to be combat, I know that I want to get them involved, but kind of have a facade to it of like, oh, this is only going to devolve into violence. That's fine, because that's the puzzle. These top rooms are more interesting. So one of these rooms is kind of like a merchant. So every time they're solving one of these puzzles, they're getting a coin. And this coin you could use to either unlock this door right here, which we'll talk about later. You needed three of those. Or you could use coins to buy special items. And so generally in any kind of like tabletop role-playing game, there's like magic items. In Fallout, everything's very... here is your gun with its mods, with your skills, and with all of these combinations put together, that makes it a very good thing. So it's like everything firing at once. So when I come up with magic items in Fallout, I want it to be stuff that's like super wacky science, like a shrink ray or something along those lines. I think I ended up coming with like buffalo pheromones that can only attract certain animals. I came up with a meat replicator. Just some really, really crazy stuff. So when you're coming up with magic items, I would say go for stuff that's outlandish that could break your game. Think of it like a cheat code. You're going to create puzzles and that utilize that cheat code. And once they get a magic item that's like so weird, they're going to forget about it. They're not going to have that in their back pocket. They're going to forget about that until it comes time they want to use it. It's ready to go. So... this next area right here, this is a security office. It's essentially a gate that says, hey, you need three coins. If you try to enter the door, then there's four advanced security turrets and a Protectron that's going to come out and try to attack you. So that was like a kind of a threat encounter of saying, hey, if you try to break the rules in here, we're going to get you. this next room is the Overseer's Chamber, which is the last room and how you get out of this vault. One of the things that I wanted them to do is become the Overseer of the vault. And what is the Overseer in a Saw movie? It is the Saw character. I forgot the name of that specific character, but essentially the Game Master. And so they were getting video feeds of people being judged as whether they were American or not, and then if they were going to drop them to be a part of the rest of this game. Now, this game has been very deadly up to this point. They've had to kill people. They've had to watch people die. They've had to do some absolutely terrible things to themselves, like eat their best friend and aunt. They necessarily didn't want to do that. So one of the ways in which they broke this rule is they needed a sacrifice of someone, and they ended up choosing the companion that they went through the whole vault with because of some different scenarios that maybe didn't make sense for them to like the companion. They ended up killing him and winning. So they didn't kill somebody blindly, somebody innocent of something. They ended up killing a companion who was also ready to engage with that, where they weren't really. They were trying to avoid that combat. And after that, they get spit out into the wasteland. So just to kind of go over what I've set up, you have your initial conflict here where you're saying, okay, here's a scenario. You go into it. Then a puzzle down. This is where you meet an NPC. This is a loot opportunity, a puzzle, and then several puzzles and combat opportunities here with kind of almost like an ending statement to the vault of, would you subject people to this? Would in this case, in this dungeon, would you subject people to this? Like, what if the shoe was on the other foot? Them learning that they wouldn't do that, and then they escape, and then they're gone. I typically like to do my maps like this and have the different drawings. It's able to put myself there. So, like, for example, I'll put myself in the Doomed Wigs right here. So the Wigs are a group within the game itself that they haven't quite picked up on yet. This is a vault atrium, and the floor is covered with a giant stand-up elephant and several trees that are all stood up together. There are some boxes in the back corner with four doors on the first level, all labeled above them. You've got the cafeteria, the security office. No, that's the school, excuse me. The school, the reactor, and what is this? Dorm 1. And then on the second level, you've got a number of different railings with three doors on them, one for commissary, one for security, and one for dorm 2. But in the center of the room on the ceiling is a giant eye that is black around it, and a red pupil is piercing out and looking around. And so that's an example of how I would describe this room. I wasn't reading any notes. I wasn't doing anything. I was just looking at what I drew. They get to look at what I drew and assume things from there. I like the idea of an unreliable map. I think most maps are just a simplification of what's actually out there. So I typically like that. It helps me put myself there, describe the setting, get the most useful points. And they may say, oh, well, you know, you didn't talk about, like, what's behind this elephant here? And I could be like, well, behind the elephant is some bullet holes. Like, it could be something to add to that scene where they would be able to say, oh, okay, so maybe the elephant's not the best place to stand behind, or oh, maybe we want to stand behind it. So this is a layout and my notes of what I do for a first session. It's very small. I keep it all to 2 pages. I don't want to have a million things to keep track of. I want to be able to have enough that I'm not caught off guard, I'm not moved away, but have less information so that when I go into it, I can improv, I can have fun, I can be a good GM and roll with the punches, listen to people's ideas, let, you know, the world build itself beyond this dungeon so that when they go out to the next thing, oh, the things that you did in here actually matter. It's not, oh, well, we did this, we won the prize, and now I have the prize. Like, the things that they did in the dungeon mattered because the rest of the area outside of it, it's gray. It doesn't exist yet. So I hope that you've enjoyed kind of looking through what I've done for this session. I hope I'm not rambling too much with anything. But if you like Rad Rolls, please give the other sessions a listen. We've got some great content coming up. I'm really excited for that TV show that's coming for Fallout. But you can find us on all the different podcast services, our YouTube channel. We put episodes up there all the time. I think I think that's it. I think we've rounded up for a little mini-sode here. We're going to take next week off, and then the week after that, we'll be back. Ooh, we'll be back. We've got some interesting things as I flip over to the next page. Well, the page after that. Don't pay attention to any of this over here, but look at this stuff. They've got all these places to go. This is where I got nice colored pencils. There's a lot of fun stuff to be had, so all of this stuff is coming up next. I think we've done some of the stuff up here, but all this stuff, that's coming up next on Rad Roll. So take care out there in the wasteland.